Morning. I took this assignment. I'd like to say that there's, what, 700 billion, 7 billion of us on the planet, and I see myself as just having 1/7 billionth of perspective on the reality of this life. So I don't, it's a challenge to come before you and say something of any meaning, but I'm going to try. And I'm going to start with from the Concise Encyclopedia, Religion. Relation of human beings to God or the gods or to whatever they consider sacred or in some cases merely supernatural. Archaeological evidence suggests that religious beliefs have existed since the first human communities. They are generally shared by a community and they express the communal culture and values through myth, doctrine, ritual. Worship is probably the most basic element of religion, but moral conduct, right belief, and participation in religious institutions are also constitute elements of the religious life. Religions attempt to answer basic questions intrinsic to the human condition. Why do we suffer? Why is there evil in the world? What happens to us when we die? Through the relationship to the sacred or supernatural, or, in the case of Buddhism, through perception of the true nature of reality, broadly speaking, some religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, are outwardly focused, and others, Jainism, Buddhism, are inwardly focused. I just bring that definition because I think it might have some bearing on what I'll be saying otherwise. So after agreeing to preach this morning, I, of course, thought of what subject I would preach on, what scripture should I use for illumination. Well, I decided to use the lectionary, and that's what we heard this morning, John reading. And I don't know very much about the Hebrew Testament in its historical context, but this reading from Isaiah really got me thinking. It seems, according to the text, God does not so much like the people's religious observance. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices? Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. After reading this, I said, why am I here? Or why are we here this morning? In the gospel lesson from Luke, Jesus says, do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourself that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I once had a conversation with a Presbyterian minister. And we were discussing what we perceived to be the essence of Christian faith. In this short conversation, this minister said that most people in the church believe that being a Christian means doing good. But somehow they did not understand the full meaning of being Christian. I did not have a response to this minister, most likely because I thought, I'm like one of those people. Did I not believe in the right doctrines or dogmas? Do I understand the mythologies correctly? Is there some special knowledge that I am lacking? Well, this week I read in the National Catholic Reporter, which is not an official publication. It's, I believe, a rather liberal publication. But the title of this article was, Cardinal Burke, labels social justice Catholics communists. The cardinal who heads the Vatican Supreme Court has apparently called Catholics who focus on social justice ministry instead of ornate liturgies akin to communists. Cardinal Raymond Burke, a former Archbishop of St. Louis, known for his preference for Latin Mass and long robes during liturgies, makes the comment in an interview posted Thursday by the Catholic news agency Zenit. Some, quote, "some argue that liturgy is most about aesthetics and not as important as, say, good works done in faith." "What is your view of this argument, though, that one often hears?" he was asked. "It's a communist misperception," his response. "First of all, the liturgy is about Christ. It's Christ alive in his church, the glorious Christ coming into our midst and acting out on our behalf through sacramental signs to give us the gift of eternal life, to save us." I would take that mean saving us from hell, which is seems to be some of the Orthodox thinking of many Christians today. "It is the source of any truly charitable works we do, any good works we do," he continues. "So the person whose heart is filled with charity wants to do good works, like Mother Teresa, give his first intention to the worship of God, so that when he goes to offer charity to a poor person or someone in need, it would be at the level of God himself and not some human level." I, of course, have a difficulty because I'm only human and God is a mystery. I have been to a variety of churches in my time. I've attended the Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem, a friends meeting in downtown Manhattan, where I was total silence for 1 hour. I sat down after about 20 minutes after trying not to fall asleep. I finally had some internal conversation once I woke up, but it took that long. And then afterwards had nice conversation with some of the congregants there. I've been to the United Church of Christ in Springfield, Massachusetts, which was predominantly a African-American church with a few of us white folks there. And they had big screen TV and all kinds of different projection things. And it was quite different from my experience. My childhood experience, of course, was in the Roman Catholic Church pre-Vatican II, which means the Mass was said in Latin. I've attended Methodist, Lutheran, Episcopal, Congregational, and of course Presbyterian services. And I bring this up because it's, why are we here? After reading the lesson today, these questions came to my mind and my experience of going to service. I've experienced a variety of liturgies where sometimes the emphasis has been on preaching the word, rising up in song, ritual and the sacraments, religious observances and services of worship have their place in life, I think. But let us remember that they are culturally conditioned and use symbols and signs and metaphors which point to meaning beyond themselves. They stand for something else. We may experience joy, elation, and a sense of reverence and thanksgiving in our time together. We take time to meditate, contemplate, and pray. Sometimes we may experience sorrow and a sense of loss, frustrated by what life has given us to endure. We may seek assurance from each other and God. Religious observance can be a means to a more fulfilling life, one that is truly rooted in love, or can be merely obligation and duty born out of fear and not love, where we meet our perceived religious requirements. We may hold firm to creeds, doctrines, dogmas of our particular religious sect and believe in its scriptural interpretations. But are we a community of compassion? Jesus, as recorded in the Gospel, uses the phrase, "The kingdom of God is at hand." Now, your hand is at arm's length, which is close by. And I take this to mean that the kingdom of God is within reach. It is here and now, if we only have eyes to see and ears to listen for it. It is among us as we gather together with compassion for the hungry, both literally and metaphorically, for we do not live by bread alone. The kingdom is among us as we gather together to serve those who are sick in body or in mind or in spirit. The kingdom is among us as we visit the lonely and those who are in despair and in need of consolation. The kingdom is among us as we seek justice in all areas of life, especially for those that are the most powerless among us. The kingdom is among us when we do acts of kindness, especially towards those who oppose us in word and deed. Some praise the Lord with loud amen, and pour forth thanks with empty words and vain oblations that do not touch their stone-cold hearts, yet others think that by their words they please the God of this great universe, and so they choose with tender care their great long words and seek by pomp and circumstance to dazzle ears unused to such sweet array of empty sounds, and sad to say such words impress so greatly that the people thus deluded cry for more, but simple words serve better still to show our praise, and best of all, our thankful hearts that turn our lives around until, without a glance, we turn aside from busy ways to give a cup to those who thirst and feed the poor, not for some rich reward we hope to earn, but just because the need is there. All our praise is vain indeed when we fulfill each other's needs. That's a poem by a fellow named Lewis Pratt, and it seemed to have spoken to the issue that I was the subject of, that I'm speaking of here. So it is my opinion, authentic worship is when we learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow, as was expressed in the Old Testament reading we had this morning. So, let us use this time when we gather for our religious observance as signs and symbols, metaphors and myths that point to and remind us that worship, which is of the kingdom of God, for I feel the true worship is when we do work in community, as a compassionate community, working with each other, that we do not let this time that we gather together to placate us into somehow we are serving God. For what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Amen.